Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that you pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned of him, and he saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants, and he said to them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my king, O Lord, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I thank you for the opportunity to be a vessel that you use this morning. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you will open the hearts and eyes and ears of the people, that they may receive this word on good ground. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you anoint my body, soul, mind, and tongue to speak only your words. And we say this in one accord in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we got more of the story, but I just want to get you up to pace on this. The king of Syria was at war with Israel, okay? And every time that he wanted to strategically place his army in different places, there was a prophet. And the prophet would turn around and say, hey, king, he was for Israel. He'd say, hey, don't go there. Why? Because the king of Syria is going to get you. Well, the king of Syria got so mad that he called all of his people together. And he's like, which one of y'all's for the king of Israel? And they're like, nobody's for the king of Israel. Because he's trying to figure out how come he can't attack Israel. Amen? Well, they turned around and said, look, there's a man that's a prophet, and he's telling all your business, everything that you say in your bedroom, which is private, he's going and telling the king of Israel. Amen? You guys all up to speed on that? Yeah? All right, let's go forward. 13. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Donathan. Therefore he sent there horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and composed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early, when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Elias, my master, how shall we do? And he said, fear not, for they that be with us, now y'all pay attention to this, this is the good part, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was filled with horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite these people, I pray, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto him, this is not the way, neither the city, follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria, which is in Israel. And it came to pass, when they were come to Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those that thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink, and go to their master. And when he prepared a great provisions for them, when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them their way, and they went out to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Amen. Now here's the story. They came against, the king of Syria said, okay, This prophet is telling all of our business, we can't attack Israel. I'm sending an army. Go find the spy out where he's at. They said, he's in the city of Dothan. They said, okay. So while they're all sitting there sleeping, the Syrian army comes up and surrounds this city. Okay? And they come in, and the servant, I'm going to show you three people. The servant is a Christian, but he doesn't see in the spirit. He still sees in the flesh. Okay? And then you got the prophet, which is able to see in the spirit. And then you got the host of the army that came up against these two. Let's say that's going to represent us before we were saved. Sinners. Okay? Now, we'll take the first one, the servant, the Christian who doesn't see spiritually. He goes out and he sees this whole army. Can you imagine being, picture you being him, okay? And you're asleep and all of a sudden you wake up and you go out there and the whole army's done surrounding the city and they're coming to kill you. I mean, they're coming to get you. And first thing he did is he runs back to the master and says to the prophet, hey, wake up, hey, they're out here to get us, they're out here to get us. What had happened to him? Fear had struck him. He had seen the whole host come around him. He said, there ain't no way us getting out of here. I'm in trouble. And he went and told the prophet, hey, look, we're surrounded. Now, I want you to see yourself. What happens when problems, situations, circumstances, things that may happen in your marriage, in your finances, in your home, fighting addictions, fighting whatever you're coming against, there's always something that's going to come up against you. Amen? There's always something that you just can't quite figure out how in the world it just happened overnight. As we had our testimony from our sister, hers happened in the middle of the night. Fire broke out in her house. That there's things that will happen that you will have planned for and think you got everything taken care of, and all of a sudden, boom, they surround you and they hit you, and next thing you know, what's the first thing the devil tries to place in you? Fear. Amen. Fear and doubt and worry. The same way the servant. He went out, and I kid you not, if that had been me, I probably would have been the same way. Hey, we're in trouble. The whole army surrounds us. Look at these big old guys with shields and swords. They're coming to get us. When problems arise in our life, that's the way they seem. They don't seem like little problems, do they? If you have a problem in your marriage, I guarantee you it seems real big, doesn't it? If you have a problem on the job site, it seems real big. If you have a problem with your finances, it's always real big. Because all the little things you're able to seem to take care of, but the things that really hit home are always the big things, and they surround you and they encompass you, and you think, man, how am I going to get out of this? What am I going to do? How am I going to fix it? How am I going to take care of it? And man, we are in trouble. And a lot of times we like to do these kind of prayers. Well, I know I'm a Christian, so what I'll do is I'll just pray. And we pray up to God and we think, well, I hope that made it all the way up to heaven. And if it didn't, well, then I'm just going to say it was God's will for me to turn around and be broke, sick, and disgusted, and homeless. You know? It's not God's will for you to be that, is it? But people say, well, when I prayed and it didn't happen, it must have just been fate. You know, they go by the fate thing. You know what I'm saying? Well, it was just fate. It wasn't meant to work. It wasn't meant to happen. Well, it just... You know, God, you know, He knew best. The Bible says that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, that you can plant it. And guess what a mustard seed turns into? The biggest tree. It turns out the smallest seed turns into the biggest tree. It turns out huge. Turns out big. It don't do no good to have the faith the size of a mustard seed if you put it in the dirt. And then you say, well, I sure hope that God answers that prayer. I sure hope He fixes this. I sure hope this goes away. I sure hope this whole army that surrounds us, just this problem just goes. No. With the seeds, you got to put a little fertilizer on it. You got to put some water on it. You got to turn around and caretake it to make sure that it's going to grow. You can't just pop the seed in there and think it's going to be okay. It's the same way with our prayers. You can't just say, well, God, I hope You take care of it, but if You don't, I understand. No, you have to turn around and quote the Word of God back to God sometimes. Hey, God, I need Your help. You said that all things work for the good of those that love the Lord. You said that by Your stripes I am healed. You said that I can count on You. I can count on You. That You'll stick to me closer than a brother. So I'm calling on you, God. I'm putting the fertilizer, I'm putting the water with my faith, and I'm quoting your word back to you that you're going to handle this situation. Amen. You said that you would be my provider. I need you to provide. You said that a husband and wife should become one and become one flesh. Amen. And we are one person, so I'm counting on you to take care of my family and my marriage. You said, heaven, and you hold that word and you're feeding your feet and you're telling God, and that's bringing it to life. Amen. And you're having faith. And then that situation, it has to turn around and be taken care of. Look at the way the prophet took care of it now. What did he say? He said, God, I pray that you open my servant's eyes and let him see that those that be for us are more than those that are against us. All the servant seen was the host of the army of the enemy. Amen. But when he turned around and he prayed that prayer to him, look what happened. In verse 16, he says, he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw. And what happened? Behold, the mount was filled with horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So Elisha seen God's people, amen. The horses of fire, that means that was the armies of God that does surround his people. This king sent his people to go destroy a man of God. But God turned around and said, no, you ain't going to get mine. And he sends his whole army to surround that army. And when the servant seen the situation come about him, he feared and he said, man, we're in trouble. And his leader said, look, fear not. Why? Because there's more for us than are against us. Now open his eyes, God, and let him see the host of army that surrounded him. What does that have to do with me and you? Because when the enemy comes against you to steal, kill, and destroy, and take your life, and take your happiness, take your marriage, take your money, take your health, take everything from you, and it surrounds you and tries to steal, kill, and destroy, because that's his job. Instead of looking at that, you need to say, hey, you know what? I don't have to have fear. Why? God, I'm calling upon you to knock the blindness off my eyes. Let me see your holy angels surround me. Let me see them accompany and surround this situation and this problem. Let me know, God, that the way that you sent the host of the army around for one man and his servant, that you will do for me and my family. Hallelujah. And when you begin to believe like that and know that God is not going to give up on you, but continue to say, get up, get up, get up, get up, there is a fire, then guess what? He's going to make sure that you and yours are protected. He's going to make sure that his angels are there to wake you up, to get your situation, to knock the scales off your eyes, to be able to see clearly, hey, there is something wrong here, but I don't have to worry about a thing. Hallelujah. I don't have to fear. I don't have to worry. I don't have to turn around and be in bondage to this situation that's trying to smother me and kill me and trying to destroy me and mine and my family. Why? Because I got a host of the army of God that surrounds me. Hallelujah. That will fight for me. Amen. That will take care of any situation, any circumstance, anything that comes against me. All I got to do is call upon King Jesus and he'll send the troops. Hallelujah. And when they come, praise the living God, people will see the rivers and the seas and the oceans part for me. Amen. He'll make a way where there is no way. Where others will get drowned in the fear and the doubt and the worry, and it will consume them and consume their life and consume their mind to where they're destroyed by the demonic forces that will torment them. We can turn around and say, that ain't happening to me. Why? Because God gives me peace. God gives me love. God gives me joy. God turns around and protects my family. Even when the devil's trying to destroy it, I can call upon Jesus, and he is my deliverer. He's the one that set me free, and he's the one that will set me free out of every circumstance or situation that comes my way, because I faithfully serve him in a spirit of love and in truth. Amen. And when you begin to serve God, even when you don't think there's nobody around, God has got people protecting you. He's got his hand
upon you. He is watching over you, and he's watching over your children, hallelujah, to make sure that they will be okay, to make sure that they will be protected. Even if they're in the other side of the house and don't nobody know what's going on, God's hand is upon your babies. Even when they're out and about in the schoolhouse, God's hand can reach it. Hallelujah. Well, they told me my son was couldn't feel his feeling. We loosed the word of God. Amen. And even in a different state, praise God, it had to be gone. And feeling was restored back to his body. That's the kind of God we serve. Amen. Not a God of fear, but a God of promise. Amen. His word is his bond. And when he gives you his word, you can stand on that word and know he is not like man that's going to betray you and stab you in the back or walk off and leave you. But he will be there closer than a brother, the word of God says. He will be there when nobody else will be. Amen. When you're standing, you're fighting that fight. That man of the God, he didn't have no fear. He said, look, don't even worry about it. Don't have fear. God, let him see what I see. When you begin to see the way the man of God sees, amen. Then you look around and you see that host army like, devil, how can you come and even think about coming against me? And you think you got me surrounded? You think you got me? You don't see the fiery horses and chariots that are surrounded you? You're done. It's over for you. That's how beautiful it is. But the devil has got us tricked in believing that this is the way we're supposed to live, in fear. And if bad things happen, then, oh, well, I guess that's just from God. It ain't from God. It's not from God. God don't want you to have a life that's beat up, battered and bruised and broken and depressed and oppressed and full of anger and bitterness and fussing and fighting and chaos and confusion. That is not from God. Hallelujah. That may have been the way you were brought up, but guess what? That is wrong. Because when it's from God, it's going to have his signature written all over it. Amen. Love, joy, peace, happiness, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, kindness. Amen. Amen. And when you got that going on, then guess what? Then you walk in with the Lord. Amen. And that's how you evaluate your life. You say, what am I feeling right now? How am I feeling? When I'm in the church, how do I feel? I feel vibrant. I feel alive. I feel God's spirit. I get happy. I want to shout. I want to scream. I want to cry. And then, whoo, I let it all hang out. And then, whoo, I feel good. That's the way you're supposed to feel at home, in your workplace, around your family, around your friends. That's God. That's what God wants you to feel. He wants you to feel him right there next to you. He wants you to know that he's right there. When you've determined to know that Jesus Christ is right there with you, you know, hey man, everything's going to be okay. Why? Jesus is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my shield. You can go through him, you can get to me. Amen. He's my big brother. And don't make us call back up. We'll call God and the Holy Ghost, and we'll all three be down here, and it's over. You see what I'm saying? I want you guys to get what I feel, to understand that there is power in the Word of God, that his spirit is alive, that it is there for you the same way it was for them. But you have to plug into it and say, hey, I refuse to live any other way. I don't know about you, but as far as me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. I don't want to live a whole life like I've lived prior. In the hurt, the pain, and confusion, and anger, and fight. It was a jacked up life before I met Jesus. I don't want that no more. And the only one that can set you free is Jesus. And when he sets you free, he sets your mind free, your body free, your soul free, and he gives you a love that passes all understanding inside of you that you say, hey, I don't have to question, is he real? I know he's real. Why? Because he lives inside of me. He gives me the love that I feel every day. Man, you crazy. I'm crazy for God, then amen. I'm on fire for Jesus. That's the only way to be. And when everybody comes against you, then guess what? They was never for you to begin with. Amen. That's how you're going to find out who's really there for you. Because if they're there for you when you sinning, they're going to be there for you when you're doing good. They'll say, you know what? I'm proud of you. I see a change in you. You're a new man. You're a new woman. Look at you. The light of God is shining in you. Do you really sincere with this? All the way. Man, I'm just glad that you're really doing it. See, that's what people need to see. They need to see Christians that's really going to do it. That ain't going to be no cowards. That ain't going to be in church playing games and then living like the devil when they walk out. They need true soldiers. God wants people to be real and stand up for God and not be cowards. Amen. And say, you know what? I am a true soldier for the Lord. And I don't care who says anything about it. Come judgment day, you're going to wish you was a true soldier too. That's how you answer them. Amen. You tell them, look here. It's for, I got a mansion up there, boy. It's streets of gold. Pearly gates. I ain't worried about what's on this earth. Because one day we're going to be with the Father. One day we're going to be, and if you imagine this, if we feel this good now, can you imagine when you right there with Jesus 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Now some of you may be thinking, well, Pastor, I've done wrong. I've done a lot of wrong. I've messed up many, many times. I don't know how many times I've tried to do good, but I always mess up and do bad. And I love coming to church, but I know when I do leave, I am going to be that one that you're talking about that's going to go back and do wrong. So part of me just wants to quit and not come back to church. That part is a lying devil that's trying to put that in your head. Now, if you're somebody like me or been going to church for years, then yeah, you need a rod of correction across your back. But if you're barely starting out and you're blinded by the sin, let's go on to the last group of people. The ones I said that we were like the soldiers. Amen. And what happened? Praise the living God. 18. And when they came down and saw Elijah, prayed unto the Lord, smite these people, I pray, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said, and I'm going to tell you what it said. Elijah said, this ain't the city you're looking for. And the man you're looking for, I'm going to lead you to him. So these are people that's blind. And the man they came to kill gets them and leads them into the enemy's camp. All the way over into Israel. And then what does Israel's king say? He said, Father, look at verse 21. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha when he saw him, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? Why did he say it twice like that? Because he was happy. He's like, these is the ones that's trying to get us. And look, the prophet done brought them into the enemy's camp. He said, shall we smite them? I mean, shall we kill them? That's what he's saying. Smite them, kill them. Shall we kill them? Shall we kill them? Because he was ready to get them, boy. He was ready to get a hold of them. And look at this right here. And this right here is a boom. It'll blow your mind. What did the prophet tell him? No. Don't kill them. Get them something to eat and drink. Get them something to eat and drink. These people, their eyes, they became open and they realized where they was at. And they was like, what in the world? How did we get off in the middle of the Israel's camp? We stuck. And can you imagine? All of Israel surrounds them the way they tried to do the man of God. It backfired on them, huh? Now, they ended, Israel surrounds them saying, can we kill them? And anybody else would have been like, yeah, they tried to get me and my servant, kill them. It ain't been done. And when I read this last part, this is where I seen the love of Jesus Christ. I mean, it's so deep right here what I'm fixing to give you. This prophet said, give them something to eat and drink. And it goes on to say that after they ate, they left, and it says they never came back to attack them anymore. Look at 23. And he had prepared great provisions for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more to the land of Israel. Why? Now
you, before you came to know Jesus, or if you don't know Jesus, you are this man. And the Bible says, either you're with me or against me. So you either with Jesus or you against Jesus. Whether you may be the most homeless monster sinner, or whether you may just be the little bitty old white liar that likes to steal bubble gum. You understand? If you're not with Christ, you're against Christ. Amen? Here's the deal. When you're in sin, sin does what to you? It blinds you. You don't see things the way Christian people see things. Why? Because that sin has you blind. In the same way that you were led, he led them to Israel, we are led to the altar to come and meet Jesus Christ. And by all rights for your sins, you're supposed to die. And Jesus is the one that turns around and says, hey, what do we take this morning? Take of this bread, it is my body. Take of this blood, this cup, it is my blood, of this wine. Now think about this. You came into Jesus' presence, into God's presence. And instead of God striking you dead for your sins, amen, what should we do? Jesus said, wait a minute, don't strike him. Give him something to eat and drink. Here's my body, hallelujah, and here's my blood. And when you take of this body and this blood and you eat it, it's going to cleanse you. And what happens when you are cleansed? The scales come off your eyes and you realize, hey, I've been fighting God all my life. I am now to the point where I should die for my sins. And instead of dying for my sins, Jesus Christ gave me his body, gave me his blood, and turned around and set me free. Hallelujah. Praise the living God. Set me free in the same way that the Syrian army didn't come back to fight Israel no more. That's the way you're supposed to be when you get set free. When God sets you free and you take of his body, you take of his blood, and he knocks the scales off, you see, hey, man, I've been fighting God this whole time and I rightly deserve to die, but he's going to cleanse me. Jesus turned around and cleansed us, said, don't smite them, don't kill them, don't send them to hell. Give them my body, give them my blood, and let them go. And we are to never to go back and fight against God anymore. Never to turn your back on God. Well, why did he let them go? Because they were to the point, can you imagine this, church? And I just bear with me. I know some of you is ready. Just listen to me. Can you imagine this? You get into the point to where you should die. And you're standing before the great white throne judgment, and he says, look at here, knock the scales off his eyes and let him see or her where they at. And it's time to pay for your sins. And you know that when you pay for your sins, it's eternal hell, damnation, and fire. And should we go ahead and send them? And Jesus says, wait a minute. Wait one minute. Do you accept me as your Lord and Savior? Yes, Jesus, I do. Give them some food and some drink. And let them go back out there into the world and tell people how merciful I am. Let them tell people how they were supposed to be damned. How when they came against me, I could have wiped them out. But instead, I had mercy one more day. I had mercy one more time. I had mercy to cleanse them and to set them free. Do you see how powerful? When I seen what this prophet did to these soldiers, I said, that's the same way that God does every single time that a sinner that's blinded by sin comes to the altar, or a Christian that is backslidden and blinded by sin comes to the altar. And God says, you know what? They truly want forgiveness. They truly want to be set free. And sin has had them blind. But just for this one moment, I'm going to knock the scale. You ever notice that when you're behind? Go ahead and play something, Donnie. When you're behind, when you're up here at the altar, all of a sudden it seems like the scales come off and you really realize, hey man, I've been messing up. I've been doing real wrong. And God will bring that into you and let you see your sins. And we begin to cry out to Him and say, man, God, I've been doing real bad. Please help me to get this out of my life. Help me when this thing has surrounded me and I can't get rid of it. Let me see your angels surround me and deliver me from this situation. And then give me your body and your blood and let me go back again and fight the fight for you. Do you see how beautiful Jesus Christ is? Do you see how beautiful? He don't want to strike you dead. He don't want to kill you. He don't want to send you in hell. He wants to deliver you. He wants to set you free. He wants to give you of His body and His blood that will cleanse you and give you eternal peace for the rest of your life. That's the kind of God that we serve. He's not ready to strike you. He don't want to strike you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to give you another chance. Amen. So it's today, as we close, I want us to all evaluate our life. See where we truly are. Ask ourselves, are we blinded by sin? Are we blinded by the things of this world? Are we allowing the enemy to come into our life and blind us and think that nobody knows? God knows. Are we just taking up a spot on the pew with our smiley face thinking that ain't nobody going to realize what we're doing wrong? God knows. God sees everything. We can fool each other all day long. We can hug each other and, hi, how you doing, brother? But you ain't going to fool God. And one day, guess what? You may wake up. And it may be too late. Because there's many people thought, tomorrow I'll do it. Tomorrow I'll do it. Tomorrow I'll do it. And mess around and die. And wake up in front of God. You got the blood. I had it. Where's it at? Sin blinded me and took it away. Now it's on the bottom of my feet. Now you got to pay. When you serve God, don't serve God for nothing or no one. You serve God for you. You have a personal relationship with Him. Because when you stand before God, there's only one person that's going to be right there. That's you. You can't blame it on nothing. You can't, I didn't understand your Bible. Well, I didn't understand preaching. Well, I didn't like going to church. That's irrelevant. Where is the blood? It's the only place He's going to have. Where is it at? Is it upon your heart or is it upon your feet? Because there are people dying in different countries for God right now. They get their heads chopped off. They get burnt alive in churches. They are turned around and preaching in the middle of deserts in different countries. Starving and ain't got nothing to eat or drink. But yet all they want to do is hear the word of God. We come to church and sit on nice cushion pews and got air conditioned ACs in our vehicles and want to cry and complain because church goes over 30 minutes long. Amen. But let it be a business deal. We'll be ready to do something. Hey, man, I'll stay here until we got to get it done. Who is your God? Is it the God of money or is it the God of Jehovah God? Because money will fail you. Family will fail you. Your job will fail you. God will never fail you. Let's find a place to pray. Amen.